Live from San Salvador and Utrecht, this is the Van Willem Sjorsnedo.
Hello.
Hey Sjors, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a while.
I mean, I'm not physically back, but yeah.
I'm the one who's not physically back. I'm still hanging out in El Salvador, checking out what's going on here with the new Bitcoin law.
Sounds fun.
So yeah, we're doing another episode remote, which always kind of sucks, but let's make the best out of it.
Indeed. Sure. Yeah, this should be fun.
Sure, today we're discussing Bolt 12.
Yes, I forgot to prepare any kind of pun for that, but yes.
Hey, Bolt 12. Bolt itself is a pun. The Lightning developers fixed that one for us.
Yeah, that's true. All right, it stands for our basis of Lightning technology, which is comparable to a BIP, as we've discussed in an earlier episode for Bitcoin Improvement Protocol. Yeah. But it's also different from a BIP.
The pun obviously being Lightning Bolt for those listeners that are particularly dense. And yeah, it stands for basis of Lightning technology. And like you mentioned, it's like a BIP, but for Lightning specifically, right?
Yeah, and it's, of course, it makes it really hard to Google anything, right? So if you're trying to find out what is a Bolt, and then you add Bolt Lightning, and you're just not going to find anything related to the protocol. So it's really smart.
Right. So far there were apparently 11 Bolts. Is that right?
Yes.
So there's basically 11 specifications of how the Lightning protocol works.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the distinction between BIPs and Bolts, I would say. Bolts are really a specification, so they're a lot more formal in that sense. So usually what they do is somebody proposes a Bolt, and then if there's two implementations of different Lightning implementations that support it, then it's ready.
Right. So there were 11 so far, and there's now a 12th Bolt. Or is it a proposed Bolt, or what's the status of this?
I think it's proposed because the only implementation is in C Lightning.
Right. So it would be official if some other implementation adopts the same thing.
I think so.
Right. So it's a proposed Bolt, and it was proposed by Rusty Russell, I think.
Yes, he actually gave a presentation about this in September 2019 in Berlin at the Lightning conference there, which was fun.
Right. So 11 Bolts so far. This could be the 12th Bolt. So the Lightning specification or the Lightning protocol could be upgraded or expanded, extended. And we're going to explain, you're going to explain mostly. It's going to be mostly you, Sjors, this episode, I think.
Uh-oh.
And everyone knows that if the two of us do a Lightning episode, these are usually the best episodes.
No, I think we can do an okay job at explaining this one. Hopefully, we'll hear.
All right, let's see how far we get. So, Bolt 12, what is it? Sjors, take it away.
Well, maybe we want to take one step back and talk about Bolt 11, or more generally, invoices.
Right, yes. Because Bolt 12 is essentially a new type of invoice or an extension of how invoices work. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, like a meta invoice, I guess.
Right. So the Lightning protocol currently uses invoices. So yes, let's first explain what is a Lightning invoice? What is this?
Yeah. So a Lightning invoice is just a piece of text, and it has a computer readable, of course. And it has a couple of things in that text. Well, one is the node that the transaction needs to be sent to.
Mm-hmm.
So a node is just a public key. There's usually an amount, like how much Satoshis are you expecting. And the interesting ingredient there is there's a hash of a secret. The hash of the secret. So the idea is that when you're actually paying an invoice, you're going to get the actual secret rather than the hash of the secret. And that's how this whole chain of HDLCs that we talked about with Joost Jager, that's kind of how they cascade. So those are the three ingredients that are on an invoice. So if you're selling me an apple, you tell me how many Satoshis you want for the apple, the hash of the secret, and what your node is. And you can add a bunch of other things to the invoice that are not very important for this conversation, like a description and some hints on how to route to you.
Right, yeah. So an invoice is just a piece of data that tells you what my node is, because all nodes on the Lightning Network have their own identifier, which you mentioned is a public key, plus the amount, plus a hash, which is sort of the magic of how the Lightning Network works. So I communicate this information in an invoice to you, and that's how you know how to pay me. That's what an invoice is, right?
Exactly. And then my wallet would just pay that invoice by sending a bunch of messages and constructing a payment and doing the routing stuff and all that stuff that we talked about earlier.
Right. So this sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And, you know, Lightning has been working, so it's not the end of the world.
So what's the problem?
Well,
why fix what isn't broken, Shors?
There's a couple of problems. So let's say you have an Apple in your store and you have this Lightning invoice and you decide to make the Lightning invoice early on. So you want to put it on a sticker and you put the sticker on the Apple. The problem is you have to set the amount of Satoshis. And so by the time I go to your shop and pick up the Apple, maybe the exchange rate, doubled.
Right.
The Apple is too expensive and you have to make a new sticker. So volatility basically is kind of hard to deal with in this way.
Yeah,
it's fine if you make the invoice real time, but not if you want to make them in advance and print them out.
Yeah, we're assuming that a lot of people are not using Bitcoin as a unit of account yet, and they're still using some kind of fiat currency as a unit of account, but they want to be paid in Bitcoin. So you want to be paid $1 in Bitcoin for your Apple, rather than a fixed amount of Satoshis in your Apple for your Apple. And that's hard to do. And that's hard to do with a static Lightning invoice. You'd have to create the invoice at the moment of sale, and you can't make it in advance. So that's one limitation.
Yeah, another one, and there is a workaround for that too, of course. None of these are end of the world problems. The other one is that this hash of the secret that we talked about, you can only use this once. So if you want to have a tattoo on your body with, a Lightning invoice, that's not a good idea, because the first person who pays it, then there's a chance it's going to leak and the mechanism won't work anymore. So then you'd have to print a bunch of QR codes on your skin. Or if you use the henna tattoos, I guess you can do that. There's also another workaround for this problem of recurring payments.
I think the it's not technically really that it doesn't work. It's just that it's not secure, right? Because the secret needs to be a secret. That's why it's a secret. While if you've used it once, then the secret has been sort of used on the Lightning Network. And therefore, if you create a new invoice with the same hash of a secret, then someone else might know the secret and therefore claim funds that they weren't supposed to claim. Right?
Yeah. And so that's
why every invoice should only be used once. So every secret is only used once. So you can't use the same invoice for different apples. I can't have, in my Apple store, I can't put the same sticker with the same price on every apple, because once the first person buys an apple, the secret is going to be out there and all the other apples. I'm running a big risk of having my apples stolen, basically.
That's right.
Right.
So one solution to that problem that already exists is that instead of making an invoice, you only publish your node identifier. And then the customer just basically enters the amount themselves and sends it to your node. So you're kind of leaving that to the customer. Of course, that's annoying too, because then how do you do automatic handling of payments? Because you're expecting a certain amount. And what if it goes wrong? If the customer types the wrong amount? That's kind of not ideal, but it's possible. And for donations, it's fine, right? For donations, you can have a tattoo with your node identifier on you, and then people can donate you because it's up to them how much they want to send anyway. So there are solutions to that. If you Google, for example, KeySend.
Right. So we've now mentioned two downsides of the current invoice system. One of them is fiat volatility. The other one is you can't really reuse the same invoice in a secure way. Are there more?
I mean, that's sort of the main thing, yeah.
These are the two.
Well, the other thing is, but it's not really a downside, but An invoice can only be used to receive money. It can't be used to send money. So you can't do a credit invoice.
You can do a, yeah, give me a concrete example of this. When would you want to create an invoice to send money?
Oh, a Bitcoin ATM. So if I put $10 into a Bitcoin ATM and I wanted to send me that amount in Satoshis over the Lightning Network, then the way that works right now is that, or well, there's some other technologies, but what we just described is you as the person using the ATM has to make an invoice for that ATM, and then the ATM will pay you if the invoice is what it wants. And that's not ideal. Ideally, what you want to do is you want to give money to the ATM, like a piece of paper, and then it should show you a QR code, and you scan that, and then it pays you. So it's a credit invoice.
Right.
That's what you'd like to see. And there are some workarounds for this, so it's not right. The end of the world again.
Right. So the current invoice system, it works for what it needs to do. However, it has, we've now mentioned, three main limitations. One is you can't create the invoice ahead of time because of the, at least if you're pricing stuff in fiat, because of the fiat volatility. The second one is you can't reuse the same invoice because it's not really secure, because the secret is exposed after the first time. And the third sort of downside is that you can't create an invoice to send money. Am I saying it right? I think so.
Yeah. And as far as I know, some or all of these are solved in practice at the, not at the protocol layer, but at the application layer with something like LNURL. So we can do a whole other podcast going into that. But for now, we're going to talk about a solution at the protocol level, which is called Bolt 12.
Bolt 12. All right. There we go. So Bolt 12 is, you mentioned, it's like a meta invoice. It's, you can consider it like a layer on top of regular invoices that communicates not just invoice data, but something on top of that, right?
It doesn't even communicate the invoice. So for in the Apple example, it might the Bolt 12 thing, the sticker that you put in your Apple, might say, this is an Apple. This is the identifier of the Apple for the store. Maybe has some, like, you know, SKU, some unique number. And this is the Lightning node, and please go talk to this Lightning node. So then what the customer app will do is it scans the QR code. It sees, okay, this is an Apple, and I have to talk to this other node. It then calls the other node and says, please give me an invoice for this Apple. And then the node actually gives you an invoice for the Apple right then, which you can pay. Which means, you know, the Lightning node for the store can calculate the exchange rate, for example, right at the last moment. And then it's paid as a regular invoice.
Right. So Bolt 12 is essentially a specification for a protocol of how to contact, well, how to contact a specific node, which would be the node you want to pay. And then that node now knows how to respond to that request by creating an invoice. Is that right?
Almost. So it's not really how to contact the node, because that's sort of known how to do that. But it is, or it might actually, I don't know, but it is saying you should contact this node because this node is who can give you the invoice.
So with Bolt 12, you get the info on which node to contact. And at that point, a invoice is created. Therefore, we're solving the time problem because the invoice is created at the exact time that you want to make the payment, even though the Bolt 12 meta invoice was stuck on my Apple for a while. And we're fixing the secrets problem because the invoice is created uniquely, even though the sticker was on my Apple for a while. But that's yours, right. Is there more?
There is more. So one thing you can do now is subscriptions. So Bolt 12 has a special way to indicate that this is a subscription. So it can say, please don't ask me just for one invoice, but ask me for an invoice every week or every month. And it can even say, well, the invoice should be $10 every month rather than, say, 10 Satoshis every month.
Right. So if you want to have, if you want to buy an Apple from me every month, that's the worst example, probably, But if
yeah,
you
that's a terrible example.
If you want to buy an Apple from me every month, we can actually automate that.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess this does require... So Bolt 12 can sort of include that information. It can offer to create an invoice every month, but there's still a lot of work to be done on the wallet side to actually make this happen in reality. Like Bolt 12
yes.
in itself doesn't solve this, right?
No, in particular because if you're talking about sort of an automated payment every month in a different exchange rate even, then that creates a few problems, right? So for example, if let's say it's automatic, you don't want to think about it too much. But then the server side, the recipient, so let's say the Spotify or whatever, they create this invoice every month for $10 based on what they think the exchange rate is. And then your wallet asks for that invoice once a month, says, hey, do you have a new invoice for me? And the server says, yeah, here's one. And then the wallet has to say, well, according to me, that it's $10.01. And so then you have to say, okay, what percentage of disagreement is okay? That sort of stuff would need to be worked out. And what does the wallet do if there's not enough balance? Does it nag the user or not? And for mobile wallets, it's even more tedious because mobile applications tend to be off in the background. So they have to wake up at the right time to ask for new invoices. So there's definitely work to be done. But at least specifying what the subscription should be, that can be done at the protocol level. But
yes,
there's more.
Bolt 12 enables this. There's still a lot of work to be done behind the screens. But at least now there's a way to sort of start doing that. And there's even more. This is amazing. Sure.
This is amazing. Well, we talked about
what else
this
is
Bitcoin
there?
ATM. We talked about the Bitcoin ATM.
Yes, that's the problem we haven't solved yet.
Right. So where I put in $10 and now it's solved because the ATM will display a Bolt 12 thing. Offer is the technical term. And it will say, take my money. Would you like this $10 worth of Satoshis? And then my wallet, if it understands this, it will create the invoice and give it to the ATM, and then the ATM pays it. So there we have the reverse flow. So my wallet creates an invoice, and the ATM sends to it.
Right. So yeah, Bolt 12 is a communication layer that allows wallets to Lightning nodes to communicate invoices. I think that's the very short way to put it, right?
Well, except that it is not the communication layer. So that's, I guess, what we need to explain next. Right?
It's more of a meta invoice. That's exactly what I was getting to, Shors. You read my mind.
Perfect. Exactly.
So if we're creating a new communication layer or new ways for nodes to communicate, how does this actually work? How's this data sent from one Lightning node to another?
Well, it will use an extension of, I think, Bolt 7 called Onion Messages. So the Lightning Network already uses Onion routing to send payments, as I think we've discussed in earlier episodes what Onion routing is. So I send a message to the next node or a payment to the next node, and then they send it to the node after that, et cetera, et cetera. And every node only knows where it came from and the next hop.
And to be more exact, every node knows from which neighboring node it got it and which next node, but it doesn't know where the message started or where the message will end, right? Or what the
exactly.
message or what the message is, because it's encrypted on every step.
Yeah, because as you unpeel the onion, basically, there's a new secret and a new secret and a new secret, and only the final destination will know precisely what was in there. And there's some tricks to make it look the same size. So, you can't see how far along in the route you are. We talked about that with Joost Jager, with this crazy postal analogy that didn't work.
Yeah, I remember. So, right now, it's already possible to send messages over the Lightning Network, I think. Is this done by using zero Bitcoin payments or no?
Yeah, either zero Bitcoin payments or very small payments. So what you're basically doing is sending a fake payment or a very small payment, and that's using the usual routing mechanisms that we talked about earlier. And then next to the payment or even the fake payment, there's a message which is whatever the message you want to send. So this protocol upgrade actually makes that more elegant.
So just
less
to
resource
be,
intensive, especially.
So just
because those fake payments. Yeah.
Sure. I want to make this clear for myself and for our listeners. Bolt 7. So that's, you know, we just discussed bolt 12. There's another bolt, bolt 7. Bolt 7 specifies how the messages are currently, these, what we just described, how that currently works. Is that correct or no?
Yes, exactly.
Right. And
so the whole onion routing thing.
And what we're going to be discussing now is an extension of bolt 7 to help bolt 12.
That's right.
Right. Okay. So we're going to discuss it.
And maybe create the future in general, because it's pretty cool.
Is it a proposed change to Bolt 7, or is it already changed?
Yep.
Or what? It's a proposed change to Bolt 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So how would Bolt 7 be changed?
Yeah. So it really, I think one way to say is it decouples the messaging from the payment side. Because so far, when you use this onion routing messaging in Lightning, you're actually trying to make a payment. But now this can be separate. So you can actually send a message to any node on the network that supports this. And even ones that you don't have a payment channel with. So it's much easier to come up with a route and it'll just forward it.
Right. So right
now, to the final destination.
Right. So right now, if you want to send a message over the Lightning Network, you're actually using all the payment routes, which are, you know, the payment channels. Even though it's a zero Bitcoin payment, you're still using the existing payment channels, and with
yes,
this
and you're really taxing those channels too, right? You're, you know, you're holding coins in reserve and all sorts of complicated things.
All right, Bitcoiners, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor. This show is brought to you by Ledin.io. I have been super, super impressed with the guys over at Ledin. I've actually known the co-founders Adam and Mauricio for a very long time. I've had the pleasure to watch them build Ledin up from a tiny, tiny startup to now a super impressive institutional grade Bitcoin and crypto lender. Y'all, I'm so impressed with these guys. They are offering some of the best rates out there. I don't think anyone even comes close to touching them. You can get 6.1% APY on your first two Bitcoin that you deposit into Ledin interest accounts, and you can get 8.5% on USDC deposits. I mean, I know all the competitors, they're not even close. If you're going to put your crypto and your Bitcoin into an interest account, Ledin is by far the best. And on top of that, like I said, these guys are hardcore Bitcoiners and they know the products and the services that Bitcoiners want and appreciate. They came up with B2X. It allows you to put your Bitcoin in, they leverage it up, and you can, with one click of the mouse, get twice the exposure to Bitcoin. So if you're super bullish, Ledin has you covered with a super, super easy way to get leverage with B2X. And then on top of that, they know that Bitcoiners care about your reserves. They know that Bitcoiners don't like under-reserved and not full-reserved financial institutions. So they are pushing the frontier in transparency in the digital asset lending space. And they are the first digital asset lender to do a full proof of reserves and proof of attestation through a Mariano LLC, a public accounting firm. So the Ledin guys, they know what Bitcoiners like. They are legit. I encourage you guys to check them out. Do your own research and go to Ledin.io. That is Ledin.io and learn more. Bitcoiners, I want to tell you guys about The Deep Dive. The Deep Dive is a new premium newsletter from the Bitcoin Magazine team in conjunction with my man, BTCization, Dylan LeClaire. Dylan is such a multifaceted and wide-ranging analyst. He does everything from on-chain analytics to macro analysis to hash rate and all that kind of good stuff. He does it all. He breaks down everything that's happening every single day with his daily dive. He's going to dive into what is happening in the market that day. So that way you don't have to pay attention to Twitter. You don't have to pay attention to anything else. You can just pay attention to The Deep Dive and he has you covered. And at the end of the week, guess what? You get a weekly recap. And at the end of the month, hey, we have a freaking report, a beautiful PDF breaking down all the activity of that entire month, what it means for Bitcoin, what you can expect moving forward. The Bitcoin market is going to moon. We are here to make sure that we maximize your stack. Go to members.bitcoinmagazine.com to sign up today. And if you use promo code BITS, you can get 1 month for free. So again, The Deep Dive. I've been checking it out every day, and you should too. Back to the show.
Right, and with this this proposed extension to Bolt 7, you wouldn't actually use the payment channels anymore. You'd just send messages to other Lightning nodes on the network.
Yeah, and this means that, at least for now, this would be free. As in, any node will just relay any message that it's getting. Is it rate limited?
Because so far there was a fee involved. It was just a regular payment channel fee type of fee? Or.
So when you make a payment, every hop you have to pay a little bit for. Now, if you have a fake payment, you don't end up actually paying. So, you know, is a problem. But if you're making small payments or zero payments, then you are paying all the routes in between for the service of relaying a message.
Right.
But this new extension does not require that. But the good news is that it is far less resource intensive. Because a node that receives a message and needs to relay it can do that in one go, and then it can forget it ever happened. It doesn't have to track anything. There's no secrets or all that sort of stuff.
Right. That's the good news. Is there also bad news?
Well, the bad news is because it's free, like, you know, it could be DDoSed. So, you know, a node would have to rate limit things like don't send too many messages, you know. And it's not guaranteed to arrive. So when you're sending a message using this Bolt 7 extension, it may arrive. It's like UDP in the network protocol.
Right. So if you're currently sending a message over the Lightning Network, you're using the payment channels, and you're essentially getting a confirmation that the message actually got to the recipient. While with this new extension, it's not using payment channels, and it's just using other nodes, and it's doesn't require the same level of resources and that kind of stuff. But you're not getting the same level of confirmation. You're not as sure that the message made it to the recipient. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. However, if you want to reply, and you probably want to, if you're asking for an invoice, because you want the invoice, then in your message should be instructions on how to send a message back. So basically, right. You just provide another bunch of onions that can be unpeeled on the way back. So the person you're talking to does not have to know where the message is coming from.
Yeah, basically the confirmation that the message ended up with the recipient is the fact that you got an invoice back, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So does that cover the proposed extension to Bolt 7?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure there's all sorts of subtle things that I don't know and we haven't covered, but
If we got the basics, I am happy.
Yeah.
So to reiterate, George, do you want to reiterate? I'm going to reiterate, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. So Bolt 12, there's a new proposed Bolt 12. It's actually implemented in C Lightning already, I think.
Yep.
But that's it's
experimental,
not,
but yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only implementation that has the only Lightning implementation that has actually included it so far, right? It's not available for mobile wallets or anything like that yet.
No.
Right. And this Bolt 12 is an additional communication, a meta invoice is how you described it previously, that tells Lightning nodes which Lightning node to connect with or to ask for information about an invoice. And this allows for more flexibility on the invoices itself.
That's right. Or in the case of the sending a payment, the Bolt 12 meta invoice basically says who to send the invoice to. Right. So in the case of the Bitcoin ATM, the Bolt 12 thing will tell you, okay, this is the ATM node. Please send an invoice to this node, and we'll pay it.
Yep. And the main problems it solves is it takes care of the fiat volatility, so you can create meta invoices ahead of the time of the payment. It takes care of the secret, so you can use the same meta invoice for all my apples. And like you said, you can use a meta invoice to determine who's actually paying who. This is all done using a new extension to the Bolt 7 messaging protocol that works on a best effort basis. Is that it? Did I just summarize it?
I think so.
Great. Sure, I think we're done then.
Awesome.
We did it. We made another episode.
I think so too. Let's hope the recording worked. Thank you for listening to the Fan Weirdom Shores NATO.
There you go.